Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. That was a week. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. And Ben, I'm struggling with this because I don't want to joke about it because it's serious. But yesterday we talked about scooters for 20 minutes solid.
Literally, we're the two anti-scooter people in the world.
It's funny because I saw one of the comments was like, it's fall camp and we just talked for scooters. We just talked about scooters for 20 minutes and I loved it. that was the comment, something like that.
Yeah.
But we were talking about scooters and how dangerous they were and how we hated that there was at least 40 in front of the facility yesterday at practice. And then today we learn, I'm not saying they're related, okay? I'm just saying they better not be related. We learn that, you know, a guy that I think Auburn was relying upon to contribute this year, J.J. Falk, is probably out for the year with a broken collarbone. I've only seen one report, so I'm going to give props to Jason Caldwell for that. There wasn't a lot of details as to how it happened. Just that it happened.
Which makes me even more concerned. There's no details of how it happened. And it better not be one of them dadgum scooters that we just spent 20 minutes talking about because there's 45 of them sitting out there and every guy's riding around. I told you too, Kyle, that's the thing that I'm worried about. It's not the turning of the ankle. It's coming to a stop and flipping over the thing and hurting your collarbone. Not that I'm saying that that's what happened, but you know,
I'm going back and I'm looking and it does say it suffered in a recent practice. So
while he was practicing, making jumps on a scooter.
I know we're talking, we're kind of joking around, but like when I heard that, it was impossible for me not
to. Oh, after we just did the episode. Yeah. I mean, when, as soon as you hear it, If you would have said somebody twisted their ankle yesterday, I would have been like on the scooter, like after Kyle and I just discussed it.
Trying to jump off and stop it and
doing something stupid. But it clearly sounds like it was done in practice. So don't need to make light of the situation because, as you said, he was supposed to be a contributor and you and I have discussed depth. Well, this could be an issue.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But it doesn't change my feeling on scooters, though, that it happened in practice. Like I still think they should be all set on fire. If there was if the mayoral race in Auburn, that was on the docket, making scooters illegal versus not electric scooters, I'm a one issue voter. Could not care less what the rest of the platform is. I'm voting. Get them out of here.
I said this back when they started letting those things on campus. I was like, this is going to get out of control. And here we are.
Here we are.
A few years later, discussing it, and it's even affecting our football team.
To make it clear, J.J. Falk did not break his collarbone in a scooter accident. It seems
like he broke it. I can see it now. Somebody's going to write a headline. It's going to be like, podcasters claim J.J. Falk hurt himself on a scooter.
Yeah.
It's all right. I'll take credit.
We're laughing about it, I guess, to keep from crying. I would say if you made a list of positions that were of concern, I don't know if that's the right word, of concern or thin or whatever you want to put it.
Thin's a good way to put it.
Thin edge would be probably at the top of the list. Is there a position you would put above them? I actually, now that I think about it, I don't think there's one that I'd put above it.
No, we talked about not above it. I mean, I've always said you never can have too many defensive linemen just because those guys take a licking and people chop blocking them and everything else. But as far as interior defensive linemen, but on the edge, I can remember, you know, after spring when you and I were doing a pod and you said, you know, we really need some depth at edge. And now you got one going down. So, I mean, it's going to be time for young guys to step up. And you and I have talked about how there's possibility of maybe some defensive guys switching positions. They may have to have somebody.
Let's actually talk through that. We're going to talk young. Let's talk young guys first, or like guys that you need to step up now. Okay. So you still feel fine about your starting two. Deshaun Womack on one side, Jared Smith on the other. I think JJ probably fit in as either third or fourth.
Yeah.
So now you don't have that as an option. So you got a guy like Chris Murray. Like, holy cow, how huge was that, him getting the extra year now because of this injury? Chris Murray, he's going to be vital. He's not necessarily a young guy, but he's a guy that is of great, great importance now that he's – now that this has happened.
Well, the thing that stands out to me – so we've got – of course, we get this, you know, practices and that kind of thing. You get the depth chart and you know, and when you look under edge, like you mentioned Murray, but Murray's technically classified as defensive lineman. He's not under the edge category. So – I know.
He's playing edge. That's just a mistake.
Yeah, that's just a – I mean, just a printing thing. Maybe that's because that's what he came in as, so that's what they're looking at. But, you know, when you look at it, you've only got one, two, three, four, five names on there now because you got to cross J.J. Falk off of there.
And there's also, like, the roster has, like, defensive end listed. And, I mean, that's kind of – there's only one, and it's Chris Wells. But, like, Chris Wells is playing – he's practicing with the edges. So, like, I wouldn't look too much into the name, the position. Basically, if you're an edge or a defensive end, like, you're kind of all the same guy. Like, yeah. It's kind of all the same group.
Well, we're absolutely, as far as depth-wise, now, a lot of them are young and probably not going to be there. But, you know, do you see anybody from, like, that linebacker position? Because
We'll get there. Let's walk through – let me walk through a couple more names. Okay. Because I don't know that the situation is quite as dire as, like, I initially thought. Like, it's awful. But we mentioned Chris Murray, okay? So then you got a guy – then you got guys like Jacquez Wilkes. You talk about young guys stepping up. True freshman, top 100 player in the country last year. Mm-hmm. He's impressive. He looks the part. So, like, that's somebody that's a body in that room. Joe Phillips.
Yeah,
could this be his opportunity to finally break through and play? And then, obviously, you got Jared Smith. And then a name that we've been talking about a lot, and had a really good freshman year last year, but he's been seen working more on the interior, but I think this could be an opportunity or a place for him to potentially play on the exterior a little bit more, is Darian Smith. So when you throw those names in there, it doesn't seem quite as dire as you would think. I'll tell you this. I'm still concerned about edge, but this doesn't send me into, like, panic mode. Like, oh my God, like, we got to go find somebody in the portal.
Does Darian Smith, is he one of the ones that beefed up? Does he need to lose a little bit to get the outside to help speed or no?
He's like 6'2", 275 pounds.
Okay.
I mean, that's not
it's not necessarily a defensive lineman.
And 275 may be generous. That's not necessarily – like, honestly, I've been worried he may be too light to play interior. Like, he's okay. Honestly more of an end. Now, is he going to be like that elite – get off, like, go out, go get the quarterback? Probably not. But, like, could he be a guy that you can depend on to set the edge and be disruptive? Absolutely. I think he could be that guy.
Yeah. Well, then it's not ideal. I mean, for anybody to go down, but I mean, it sounds like there's at least some decent backup, and we didn't even made it to the linebackers that you make it.
Yeah.
Slide some guys that, you know, because let's call it what it is. Sometimes, depending on scheme and how you're running things, I mean, an edge could be considered an outside linebacker at some point in time, depending on.
I mean, technically is.
Yeah. You got to wonder if you'll be able to pull from that as well. So, may not be as bad as we think. It just, I've told you, I always want to get through fall camp and get to game one injury free. So, this is not.
A request or a desire that quite literally will never happen. But I understand what you're saying. Like,
yeah,
the first thing I want to hear out of a scrimmage is nobody got hurt. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's always what the first that's what people want to hear first. So this obviously sucks. And JJ's also one of those, we always have a little bit more of an emotional connection to like homegrown guys. And when I mean homegrown, I'm like guys you bring in from high school.
Yep.
So that hurts as well. You mentioned something, you mentioned someone, and I think that this is always at the top of the list when something like this happens, his name, and we're going to get to that in just a second. But before we get to that, Ben, we want to give a quick shout-out to Prize Picks. It's a scorching sports summer, and you can make all of your picks on Prize Picks. Women's basketball and baseball are heating up. Football preseason is here, and with big tennis slams and big golf tournaments on the horizon, there's no better place for all your summer sports picks than Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app. But for me, this time of the year, and Ben too, it means one thing: Auburn football's close. And as we get closer to kickoff, we've already got a few Auburn guys on our more watch this season. You got guys like Chaz Nimrod, Keyshawn Singleton, and Jeremiah Koger, who've all been generating buzz, and those are names we'll be watching when the player projections start rolling in. That's what makes Prize Picks so much fun. I can pick more or less on player stats, build my lineup, or have another reason to follow every snap. One lineup, one app, all the picks, and Prize Picks is now available in all 50 states. That matters, which also includes Alabama. Download the app today and use code CLNS to get $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup. You heard that right. Download the app today. Use the code CLNS. You get $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, America's number one sports pick app. Ben, you were so close. You wanted when this injury happened, this is the name everybody wants to jump to. And it's reasonable. I get it. I'm going to let you say it. Like, who is it that you're we've got to move them to edge now?
I don't know who I was going to say.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with DeMarcus Riddick. Like, that was that was the one everybody always goes to. They're like, DeMarcus Riddick, this is
– You wouldn't let me move forward.
Yeah.
I was like, because I said, let's take a look at the linebackers. Who are we going to drop down to, make an edge? And
Exactly. Yeah.
That's cheating with DeMarcus Riddick, because I'm one of those that I'm a huge DeMarcus Riddick lover. I'm okay with playing him at strong safety. I'm okay with playing him
running back.
If he wants to go play tight end and actually go out for a few routes, I'm good with that too. I've said before, how are his hands? Can we put him in punt return? So I'm the wrong guy to. I'm your typical fan that just, I love to see him on the, I don't ever want him coming off the field.
Yeah.
And so, that's why I was going to throw that in your lap earlier and you wouldn't let me kind of go down that road.
Well, he's done it before. I mean, he kind of has played out there before, like his freshman year, he played out there.
He's just a football guy. Like
he's an athlete.
Yeah. He's a super freak athlete that can just do just about anything on the defensive side of the football. And if he had more weight on him, I'm sure they'd probably try to drop him down and put him in the interior to see if he'd get by folks. So he's one of the obvious choices. But I was doing it more big picture because I was kind of going to go besides DeMarcus Riddick with that linebacker room so deep with – I mean, you got 12 names in there. Is there somebody that may be able to drop down or fill in or kind of move into that position that – you know, they may be sitting behind somebody as far as linebacker is concerned, but yet you could probably put them like you were talking about earlier with like a Wells, like somebody that can, you know, or with a Smith,
I think,
like somebody that can set the edge or that could, you know, at least be a hole plugger. And so
I would, there's a couple of names that I think could be potential guys that I think could rush the passer.
Outside of
DeMarcus Riddick, yeah. I really think Shedarius Tootle could be a guy that does that. I think he's big enough now. He's already like 235 pounds, like 6'3", 235. Like that's pretty close to where Kieron Crawford played last year. I think he may have been 10 pounds heavier. And he's a freak athlete.
He is.
He could be a guy that comes off the edge. He's young, but that's also a good way, I think. And it's been proven with DeMarcus Riddick and DJ Durkin's familiar with this. It's a way that you can get young playmakers in the game without having all of the responsibilities. It's kind of like narrowing their focus, like almost like see ball, get ball kind of thing. He could be one. I think Bryce Diaz could be one. I think he's just so freaky athletic in packages. He'd be smaller, but he wouldn't be much smaller than where DeMarcus Riddick was 2 years ago. They've had DeMarcus Riddick they've had Bryce Diaz lined up wide enough to where he's almost like playing nickel at times because he's just that athletic. Him coming off the edge could be very scary. It may just be, Ben, it may just be that you – and it may have been this way anyway – that you're going to have to manufacture pressure. Like, you're going to have to do that more instead of just, like, saying the front four, you know, pin their ears back and go. That's more ideal. But, I mean, Xavier Atkins led the team in sacks last year, and I don't think anybody was complaining too much about the defense as a whole.
No.
So maybe that's the answer too.
Well, and you can, especially some of those freak guys with some various stunts that they would do. I mean, you mentioned Tootle and him being a kind of a super freak. I mean, that's the advantage you would have sliding somebody down there at that you do wonder if his size would affect him, especially going against some of those big tackles in the SEC, if they may hold him back. But if you are scheming it, which DJ Durkin's known for doing as far as some of the stunts and some of the crosses that they're doing, he'd be a guy that could, as you talked about, see ball, get ball. There's just not a whole lot of thinking that's going to be done out there that would slow you down as far as am I covering this gap? Am I doing this? If I got backside this, it's like, no, like we're in a third and long situation. I need you to go get that guy that has the ball in the backfield. And I think those guys would be able to do it. And I'm not saying develop some special packaging for them. I'm saying, while they're out there, if you end up holding them to third and long, I mean, those are the type super freaks, like you just mentioned with Diaz and Tootle, that although smaller, they'd also be faster than probably what an offensive tackle is used to. And so they may be able to use their quickness and athleticism in order to for an advantage. So that's why I had, as soon as you told me about Falk, you know, with the collarbone, which I told you, my dad broke his collarbone. I mean, it is nothing. It ain't like he's going to put on shoulder pads for the next. I know that they say 6 to 12 weeks, but even at 6 weeks, I mean, you're looking at week 4, 5, or 6, him coming back, and he'd be limited. And if it was injured bad enough, the first lick he takes the wrong way is going to be bad for him. So
yeah, he's probably done. Yeah. So I would just say just don't count on him this year. And if anything, it would be mega, mega late in the year. I mean, I've seen some of these projections that say this could be like a 12-week recovery, you know, and that's just that's just like the average person. Like, what is the recovery to get back and then go take shot, like you said, go take shots on your shoulder again, maybe even longer. So tough break for him, no pun intended, and obviously pulling for him and hope that he can get back as fast as he can. He's still got a bright future. He was having a great spring. I mean, spring and fall. He's had a great spring and fall, and he was going to play major, major minutes. So, obviously wishing him the best. But it's not like burn the boats and we're you know, back up the trucks and turn this place into a parking lot. It doesn't mean the season's over.
You mean burn the scooters.
Burn the scooters. We do want to still burn the scooters, though. Yes. Guys, thank y'all for listening. Let us know what you think in the comments, and we'll talk again soon. We're out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.
Say no to scooters.